All right. Praise the Lord. God is good and he's in the house. Amen. We're doing all right. It's today we are we're going to start a brand new sermon series today called How To, right? You know, we've been talking over the last month or so about some pretty heavy stuff, actually. Again, if you're a guest here today, we're super glad you're here. We know there's a lot of other places you could have been, and so we're glad that you're here. We have been wrestling some really good stuff, and if you haven't seen it, I would really encourage you to go back to YouTube, Facebook, check out some of those sermons and stuff. But in the midst of all that, like, sometimes we might ask, like, you might even ask of me, like, Pastor, like, what you're saying is great. What the Bible's saying is great. Like, okay, we know what we believe and that kind of stuff, but how are we actually supposed to live this stuff out, right? And so what we're going to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks or so is actually get into some of the how-tos, right? And it's kind of funny, right? Because I don't know if you've ever done a Google search for a how-to or not, right? But when you start typing in how to, and it just like auto-populates some things that it thinks you're asking about, it'll really tell you some things about you, right? Because they tell you things that they think you're going to want to know how to do, right? And some of them are just weird, I'm not going to lie. But one of the things I thought, maybe just to help us get an idea for why this is really important, is I thought I would just read some instructions for you. And actually carry out these instructions for how to make s'mores, right? Maybe just for curiosity, this is not to isolate anybody or bring shame on anyone. Has anyone not had s'mores in your life? Just raise a hand if you've ever not had a s'more. Okay. So first of all, let me just say, there's a fire pit in the back of my house right now. Y'all are invited to come on over. Like, it's going to be a little rainy today, but maybe like next weekend or something, come on over. It will change your life. I'm just saying. Not more than Jesus, but it will change your life. So come on. It'll be great. It'll be great. It's a lot of fun. Just to kind of, by the way, for the purposes of this the illustration, I decided not to actually have a real live fire. Yeah. And those, again, for those of you who are new, the people who've been here the longest are the ones laughing the most at that, because that would be just really dangerous to give me fire. But so let me just kind of show you why it's important that we know how to do what it is the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do, because sometimes it can be real easy to get it wrong, to get it twisted, right? So, like, for example, I mean, in like basically the instructions for making s'mores would be, right, that you put marshmallow and chocolate on graham cracker and then you cook them, right? But that could also look like that. You don't want to cook that, right? You need better instructions to know like how to actually do that, right? So, okay, so what if it was that you have to take the crackers out of the box first, right? That would make sense. We're going to take the crackers out of the box first. And then put the marshmallows on top with the chocolate, right? We're closer, but still not what we're looking for. Okay, so we're going to take one graham cracker out of the package, right? And so we'll take one graham cracker out of the package. We will take one marshmallow and put on top of it, right? Then we'll take the chocolate out of the wrapper, right? Which I probably should have done beforehand because chocolate wrappers are a little, anyway. No, I'm good with the chocolate. Thank you very much. Take the chocolate out of the wrapper, put it on top, and then finally take another graham cracker, one graham cracker, put it on top, and then cook it. And so we are closer, right? But we are still not quite what a s'more is supposed to look like, right? So let's maybe see if we can't do this a little better here. So get rid of all that there. Okay, so we need to take half of a graham cracker, right? We'll set that down. The next instruction then is to take one marshmallow, and two pieces of chocolate, although, like with these three is probably best. So I'm going to change that, actually. No, I'm going to keep it there. Two pieces of chocolate and put that on top. Then that the other half of the graham cracker on top. And then you can put that into the microwave for 30 seconds. Now, again, if you come into my house, we're going to have a fire. You're going to have a little, you're going to roast the marshmallow first. But again, we can't do all that here, right? But you see what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of ways that you can take the same basic instructions and come up with very, very different outcomes based on how clear those instructions are, right? And so what I want us to do is to take a few weeks here where we can look at like how we are supposed to live this life with Jesus, right? And so we're gonna dive into all kinds of really fun topics and everything here. Today, I wanted us to look into how to engage with people who do not know Jesus, right? And here's why I really wanted to get into this today. And that's because next week is Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day, statistically, is the day of the year when more people who don't know Jesus will be in a building just like this than any other time of the year, more than Christmas, more than Easter, right? Because on Christmas and Easter, you usually have the people who used to be here that just got away from it. And then everybody decides, okay, well, if I'm going to go back, I guess I better go back on Christmas and Easter, right? But on Mother's Day, you get people that don't know Jesus, and they don't want to know Jesus, but the only reason they're there is because Mama said, right? Don't get me started on Father's Day. Ain't nobody show up for that. But that's a whole nother thing. My feelings ain't even hurt about it. Don't worry. But on Mother's Day, mamas can get their kids together, right? And I don't know what they say or how guilty they make them feel, but one way or the other, they get them here. And in buildings just like this, there are people who don't know Jesus. And so what I want us to be thinking through, not only in this building, but even in your workplaces and with your family and with your neighbors, like how is it that we can engage people who may not necessarily even be opposed to Jesus? They're just not following him, right? So what can we do there? So let me just pray first, and then we'll jump into a lot of different points of Scripture here. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from you today. We thank you, God, for your word, and we ask, God, that you would help us to listen to you, Father. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today. God, I just ask that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. God, help us not only hear from you, but to submit to you and say yes to whatever it is that you are challenging us with today. Show us your way and help us to walk in it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, let me just start off with just some general principles that are really, really good to keep in mind. And by the way, let me just say this too. Let me sort of preface this with, I'm not under the impression that everybody who is here today knows Jesus either, right? And so if you don't know Jesus yet, like I don't want you to feel like oh, well, I guess I better check out of this sermon or whatever. No, really, what I want you to do is to be thinking about the fact that there are other people in your life who aren't sitting here, but you are, right? So maybe there are some of these principles that you could even that could help guide some conversation that you have even with other people, no matter where you are in terms of your connection with him, right? So first of all, just sort of in general, in order for us to be able to engage with people who are not following after Jesus, the first thing we've got to do is be intentional to actually build relationship with people, right? Just think about it. If some random guy walks up to you offering you s'mores, are you going to eat them? You better not, right? Like, for those of you who didn't answer, like, I don't know where your parents are, but like, you don't take s'mores from strangers, right? Like, I mean, don't take s'mores from strangers, all right? I'll get my two out of the way, and Daniel better hear that. No, he would. Anyway, the point is you don't. The point is you don't, all right? It's the same idea. So in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, the religious leaders, when they saw it, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what it means that I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." See, Jesus knew the importance of building relationship with people who weren't yet following Jesus. And he took a lot of flack about it from the religious leaders of that time. See, their goal at that point was avoid people who they were Jewish, so it was a little bit different there. But the point is, they're avoid anything that isn't already in submission to God. Even though the irony is that they also were not in submission to God, right? See, what we have to recognize is that we've got to be intentional to build relationships with people even if they are not yet followers of Jesus. And then as we do, God is going to create opportunity for us to have some really powerful conversations there that might just change their lives forever, right? Now, in this relationship, one of the things that we have to do well is listen. Oh, Lord, help us all. Like, I just need you to know right now. If there is something that the church in our world is not known for, it is listening. Right? A lot of people would say the church is really good at barking. The church is really good at judging. The church is really good at telling me what I'm doing wrong. But the church ain't so good at listening, right? We need to be people who listen well, right? I'm going to keep coming back to this s'mores thing just because it's here and you're probably hungry. And but I mean, just think about it. Like, if somebody told you that they choked on a s'more one time, they're probably not going to want you to cram another one down their throat, right? So maybe just taking long enough to listen to the bad experience they had with a marshmallow one day might help you actually help them recognize that not every marshmallow is out to kill them, right? Now, we laugh about that in regard to marshmallows, but a lot of people have some really strong feelings about church. They had an experience one time that did not go well, and they choked on that marshmallow, and they are not looking to get anywhere close to another one. But as we are able to listen well to their experiences, we're also able to then just be able to be curious and ask some questions like, "Hey, do you think it's possible that one of the other marshmallows in the bag might do better?" Right? Do you think maybe it wasn't the marshmallow? Like, maybe it was just a bad day, right? Or maybe that was just a rotten marshmallow. See, what we have to recognize is that we can't just tell people, be better. We can't just tell people, be changed. We can't just tell people, you need Jesus. Is that true? Yes, it is true. Everybody needs Jesus. But what people need is for us to listen to why they don't want Jesus. And it's going to be different for everybody, right? James chapter 1, verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That is not how people look at the church today." In fact, they would probably describe it just the opposite. That we're quick to talk, we're quick to become angry, and the only thing we're slow to do is make a decision on anything, right? The next thing we need to do, and I'm going to try to move through these. There's several of them. I don't even know how many. I stopped counting. But the next one, though, is to just share what the Lord has done and is doing in your life, right? And what I mean by that, again, if you're part of a community group, the guideline there is to use your I statements, right? Talk about what God has done and is doing in your life. Don't project onto other people, right? So what I mean by that is, like, don't convince people that they like s'mores just because you like s'mores, right? Tell them how much you like s'mores. Like, that's all you got to do. Like, you don't have to be like, "Oh, you love s'mores, don't you? Well, actually, I've never had one." "Oh, you do love s'mores. Yes, you do. You better love s'mores or you're going to go to hell," right? Like, what? Hold on. You see what I'm saying? But that is what it feels like, right? we don't have to convince people about how bad they are and how shameful that, you know, that people know right from wrong. What people don't know is why you love Jesus. Amen. Why are you convinced? Like, you coming to me all crazy about your s'mores. Like, what's up with that? Like, what are you putting in your s'mores that apparently I don't know nothing about, right? We don't have to, like, we don't have to convince them. We just need to share what God is doing in us. Now, if you start looking at your life and you're just like, well, I don't know what I would share. Now, that's another problem. If you don't see God at work in your life and you ain't got nothing to share with anybody, like, well, like, hit me up, like, for real. Fill out a connect card. Like, we need to look at some things. Because I really believe that God is active in our lives. Like, I believe each and every day, not just on a Sunday morning, not just as we're during a sermon or whatever like that. Like, I believe every day God is at work trying to show us some things in our homes, in our commute, at our workplace, wherever we are. Like, I believe God is active in all those places. So if we don't see God doing some things, we need to look inward a little more, all right? So let me read this. This is a longer text. It's Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. Please don't forget, while you are an heir of the hope of eternal life, that's not always who you used to be. Let's not forget why we are all wrapped up in our saved selves, that there was a day then we weren't that saved self. Let's not forget, as it says here in Titus, that at one time we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. Like, stop looking at other people like you ain't been other people before in your life. We've got to love people like we've been there too. All right? Again, and you don't need to tell them that they are foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. They know that already. What you need to tell them is how Jesus saved you from it. Just tell your story. Just tell your story, right? The last general principle here is to just be intentional about sharing the gospel, right? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and this is becoming one of my favorite verses, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Here is what just knocks my socks off about this verse. And that is that the gospel has the power to bring salvation. It does not say the pastor has the power to bring salvation. It does not say the church has the power to bring salvation. It does not say your theological degree has the power to bring salvation. It does not say just because you memorize the Bible, you have the power for salvation. No, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that we can't save ourselves, that only we can only be saved and forgiven because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that is the only thing that brings salvation. The only thing. Which is super good news for me. Because when the best I have is a s'mores illustration, the gospel can still save your life. Isn't that crazy? I mean, think about that. When I've got nothing but graham crackers and marshmallows, I can't even eat the chocolate because I'm allergic to it, right? Y'all can fight over that when we're done. The point is, that's all I got. That's all I have. But the gospel is the power for salvation. Yes, yes, yes. So when you're talking to somebody, sharing your story, make sure your story includes, I didn't know what to do. But one day, Jesus just grabbed a hold of my heart and he changed me forever. And I can't explain it. It wasn't anything I did. It wasn't like I made some big whatever. Like, he just saved me. And he just changed my life. And I don't know why. And I don't know how he did it. But praise God that he did it. Right? You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how that will absolutely change lives of people. Not because you're so great, but because the gospel is enough. And that takes a lot of pressure off of me, I'm not going to lie. Because I can mess this whole thing to pieces. And as long as I can communicate in one way or another the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done, then y'all don't even know what's about to hit you. Amen. Right? Amen. Praise God. All right, so let's think about this in terms of your work environment, right? So what's it look like? How can we engage people who are not following Jesus, like, in our work environment? Because I know this is a little touchy, right? Like, what you do and what you don't do and all that kind of stuff. So first of all, we need to be intentional that we are working as unto the Lord, not just to our boss, right? So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving," right? So just keep that perspective. I know sometimes, I mean, my staff loves their boss, right? They do. They do. I'll tell you for them. They love their boss, right? But I know not everybody does. Right? Not everybody has as good of a workplace as they have. Am I right? He's amen. Amen. There we go. Good job. No, but for real. But no, seriously, I know, like, not everybody has a good work environment and everything. And it's like just getting there is a struggle sometimes because you know what's waiting for you when you get there. Like, I get that. We have to have this understanding and awareness that we are not working for the people who sign our checks, right? We're working for the Lord. Like, everything in our lives ought to represent our relationship with him, right? And so we've just got to be intentional to keep that perspective. And I'm telling you, like, that will help you get through your day, too. It really will. It really will. The second thing, though, at work is you got to get your work done. Amen, Pastor. Come on. Some of you are like, oh, I was really hoping he wasn't going to say that. No, like, you need to get your work done at work, all right? You can't be having s'mores unless your chores are done, right? I'm just telling you what the rule is in my house. Like, if your shoes ain't put away and your book bag's still in the middle of the floor, ain't nobody cooking you s'mores for nothing, all right? Like, you need to get your work done. Because if your coworkers have to spend half their day cleaning up after you, they don't want to hear about your Jesus. I know that don't sound real spiritual, but it is. Trust me, right? If people have to come behind you and they got to fix all your stuff because you real busy sharing the gospel, but you're not real busy actually doing what you're getting paid to do, like, that would be so incredibly frustrating, right? So get your work done, right? Genesis chapter 39, verse 3 and 4 says, "When his master saw," this is talking about Joseph now in the Old Testament, "when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant, and Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned," right? And for those of you who know the story of Joseph, eventually, like, things go, he gets double-crossed. This is no good. But anyway, I'm going to keep all those comments to myself. But the point is, he ends up in jail, which is not good. But we pick up there in verse 23, after he was falsely imprisoned, it says that the warden of the jail paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. See, there is something to be said for getting your stuff done and keeping your focus on the Lord. Working as unto him. And then the favor of God will actually help you to do what you need to do on your workplace. Your boss will notice. Your coworkers will notice, right? And what I want you to think about, I want you to think about it as the Bible talks about in terms of being married to an unbeliever, right? And follow me with this one here. Follow me with this one here. So in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, and by the way, before we get into this, we are in the middle of a really awesome Bible study in 1 Peter on Wednesday nights right now. If you are available on Wednesday nights for the Bible study that we're doing over in the hospitality room at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, it's really, really good. Would encourage you to come be a part of that. Anyway, done with my commercial break. But verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 3, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 16 says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? The point in all of this is that even if you are married to someone who is not following after Jesus, you live in such a way that that your life would communicate the good news of Jesus to them, that they would be like, you know what, I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, but there's something different about you than there is about me, and I need that to get in my life. Like, we need that same kind of mentality when it comes to our workplaces, right? The people around us ought to be looking at us wondering, what do you have that I don't have? How do you walk into this place, not the sanctuary, but your workplace, right? With a smile on your face, knowing how terrible of an environment this is. How do you deal with that one guy? And we all know that one guy, right? If you don't know that one guy, I got bad news. You might be that one guy, all right? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. I'm going to let you and the Lord work that out. Nobody make eye contact. Nobody make eye contact. I'm only looking down. The point is, though, like, we ought to be working in such a way on our jobs that people around us wonder, like, how in the world are you doing this right now? That they might just by your actions, not even by your words, that they might want what you have in that relationship with Jesus, right? We ought to, I'm sorry, I wrote all this stuff about s'mores and stuff, and some of it's funny, some of it's just weird. I'm going to read what I wrote down here, and we'll see where it goes. We ought to love our s'mores so much that other people want s'mores too. You know what? Not everything's a home run, all right? Let's just keep going here. But you see what I'm saying? Like, again, you ain't got to convince people to love s'mores. Just love them so much that they want to love them too. What we really need to remember is that our lives are not just about us, right? It's about pleasing God. Our lives are about making Him happy, right? And so when you're at work, is your work about pleasing you, or is your work about pleasing God? See, because sometimes we get it twisted in our minds and we think, oh, work is either about me being happy or that person being happy. No, it's not about either one of you being happy. It's about God being happy with how you are conducting yourself in that place. Is He happy with what you're doing there? And then all those other general principles still apply. Share your life. Just build relationship. All those kinds of things, right? But I want to, before we get out of here, and again, we'll probably leave today. I do want to cover just a few things about, like, how we ought to be engaging people who are not Jesus followers even in this building. And again, like, let me be clear. It's not like somebody walks in the back door and you're like, ooh, that's one, right? Like, let's not do that. Like, it ain't like that. The point is, if you don't know, right, then you better have, like, there better be, like, a spidey sense or something like that going off in your head, like, hey, like, we just need to be intentional about what's happening right now, right? Okay? So let me just run through a couple of things here. These are going to be a little different than with the work, but, I mean, all of that applies and everything, too. So, okay, first of all, no one No one, when they walk into this building for the first time, no one knows who the leaders are. So they're going to assume that you're a leader. Ooh, yeah, you should be quiet. And even if next week is just your second time here, people are going to look at you like you know something. I'm just saying. This is not me, for those of you who are first-time guests, this is not me telling you don't come back next week, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying. The point is, nobody knows, for the most part, who the pastor is. Nobody knows who the elders are. Nobody knows who the community group leaders are. Like, no, nobody knows. So when they come in and they see that you seem to have some amount of confidence in where you're going and what you're doing, they're going to assume you're a leader. So I just need you to, like, help me in representing leader well, okay? That's all I'm asking, right? Because if they think you're me, I don't want to have to apologize for you. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I don't know a better way. There's probably a better way to say that. I don't know a better way to say that. In other words, again, let's go back to the s'mores. I'll keep ruining it here with the s'mores. If someone new walks up, like you're at a fire pit, right? And someone new walks up to the fire pit, but you've got like the stick in your hand and all that kind of stuff, people are going to assume that you're in charge of the fire pit, right? So whether you are in charge of the fire pit or not, show people where the sticks are. Right? Show people where the graham crackers and the chocolate and the marshmallows and all. Just show them where the plates are. Like, show them where stuff is. Like, put a smile on your face. Let them know you're glad to see them. Because I'm glad to see them. I might. Well, never mind. I'm trying to be nice here. The point is, like, just we need to represent God and His kingdom well. Because the reality is, you are not just representing me. And you are not just representing this logo. You're not just representing the name on the building. You are representing the kingdom. And I can tell you right now, there are some people who aren't in a building just like this because some people who represented the kingdom did some non-kingdom things. And they're never going to step back into a building again because of something that people who represented the kingdom didn't do well. All I'm asking, I don't need you to preach to them. I don't need you to get them saved at the front door. All I'm asking is, can you just represent the kingdom well enough to get them from the front door into a chair? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking, all right? That's all I need. So it could look like this. Let me just read. So Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." Again, let's not forget, there was a day when each of us walked into a building for the very first time, right? Somebody received us. Somebody helped walk with us, right? So just welcome people well. Again, this is not rocket surgery, but it's things that just you got to keep in mind, right? So like eye contact with people. Please know this. If you make eye contact with someone and then you immediately turn away, that says something, okay? Like if you make eye contact with someone you've never seen before and you don't say something, like, y'all have been in the South long enough. I know in Houston, we got people from all over the place. This took me a minute to learn because I'm from Columbus. You can look somebody dead in the face and turn around and not say a word and nobody says anything. But in the South in particular, right, you look somebody in the face and you don't say anything, like you might as well just scream, "We don't want you here," right? So I don't need you, again, I don't need you to like tell them, you know, all of our statement of faith or anything like that. All I need you to do is just say hi. Hi. It's great to have you here. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple. Some people are just like, Pastor, I just don't know what to say. I'm not a people person, right? There's two things I'm going to give you to say, right? That you can just, if you need to write them down, put them on your hand for next week, right? Whatever. Two things. First of all, is just simple enough to say, "I'm glad you're here today." Just say, "I'm glad you're here." It would be really awesome if you meant it too, by the way. Yeah. Like that, the meaning it usually shows up by your face, by the way. So like if you like are like nasty in your face and you're like, "I'm really glad you're here today," right? I don't think you are actually, right? So remind your face to say it too. Remind your face. But then the other thing is just simply to ask people, because I get it, like not everybody knows everybody, right? And some people are scared to death, like, oh, well, if I ask somebody, oh, are you a guest today? Then they're going to be like, no, I've been here 3 years, right? I know, like not everybody knows everybody. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. You're not mad at me. It's all right. It's okay. But what you can say is, and this is really helpful, what you can say is, how long have you worshipped with HFC? If this is your first time, like if they say, oh, this is my first time here, well, praise the Lord. Let's help you out find something. There are some chairs in here. Let me put my smile on and show you the way, right? Whatever it is. But like just ask, how long have you worshipped with HFC, right? That way, if they say 3 years, you could be like, oh, awesome, me too, right? I'm just saying, I'm glad you're here. How long have you worshipped with HFC? It's super simple, and it just helps people know, you know what, they're glad I'm here. And we really, really are. So James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. Like, I need you to recognize, like don't just be looking for certain people to smile at. Ooh, that got heavy in a hurry, didn't it? Don't just be looking for, well, but pastor, I don't know what to say to young people, or I don't know what to say to old people, or I don't know what to say to rich people, or I don't know what to say to poor people. You know what? People's people. Just say hi, and we're glad you're here, right? You don't have to have a sociology degree to figure out what to say. Just say hi. Everybody loves to be loved. Amen. So just love on people in just really simple ways there. Because what we don't say does actually communicate something, right? And so I celebrate y'all a lot. Like, we as a church I think, and maybe I'm wrong. For those of you who are first-time guests today, maybe you can give me a little report on this. But I think we do a pretty good job of welcoming people. But we also have a lot of people who are new with the church, right? And so we just need to make sure that we are continuing to expand that culture of welcoming people and loving on people well. You are, like, I'm inviting you, each and every one of you, even if this is your very first time here today, like, I'm inviting you to be a part of our welcome committee, all right? And together, we are going to help people know that they are loved. All right. So, how can we do this? How can we make this happen? What can we do even in our own lives to put ourselves in a position to do this? So, first of all, we've got to be intentional to spend time with people who don't know Jesus. All right. The only way that we're really going to be able to help people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus is we got to spend time with them, just like Jesus did with Matthew and all the tax collectors and the sinners and that kind of stuff. We also need to get involved in some training and stuff. We offer some disciple-making training. You have connect cards on the back of the seat in front of you. If you're interested in learning how to become a disciple-maker, like, just so you know, nobody's born knowing how to do any of this stuff, but we do believe the Bible tells us how, and so we'd love to do that. Maybe if you're interested in doing that, we'd love for you to just sign up on that connect card. You can put it in the offering box at the end or just hand it to me, and we'd love to get you equipped for that. Community groups are also a great place to learn how to love on people well, because you're doing that each and every week. You get to learn from other people's testimonies, all that kind of stuff. Again, if you're interested in a community group, those connect cards are super easy to help us get you connected there. But then there's all kinds of different relational environments, right? There's things like I need you to know this, in our kids ministry and our youth ministry, there is specific and strategic plans in place to see that our children and our youth are being discipled, right? And so they are going through the how-tos with our kids and our youth on how to do this stuff. So as adults, we need to keep up, right? Like, for real. Wednesday night, I mentioned the Bible study. It's a great time to just get together and really learn from each other, like how we can connect with others well. Even our young adults are doing some really awesome stuff on Thursday nights that they're just doing by themselves. That's not even a church thing. They just love Jesus and love being together, and so they do that. We've got our women's ministry. They got a tea actually coming up on the 20th of May, and if you haven't talked to Susan, there we go. She'll hook you up with that. Again, all of these places are just opportunities where you can learn from other people how to love other people well, right? men's breakfast, like free coffee with Naomi, which is two Sundays from now, like on the 21st. It's a great opportunity to get to know other people, particularly that are newer with the church. All of these things are things that you can do to learn how to love on people who don't yet know Jesus, right? Nobody's born knowing how to do this stuff, but we can all take that next step of faith to be able to do this well. The question is, how are you going to connect with people who aren't already following Jesus? How are you going to do it, right? So let me run through these. We kind of finished these sermons with some questions and stuff, and so let me just kind of get you thinking about this. And in fact, worship team, come on back up here. They're going to do one last song before we go. But as they're coming up, let me run through these questions with you. First of all, what fears do you have about engaging people who don't know Jesus? Because we all have some fears about that. Like, how am I going to be received? What might happen there? It's important that you actually think about why it is that you might be hesitant about talking to people who don't yet know Jesus. Question two, what is something that God is doing in your life that you can naturally share with others? Again, how is God at work? What is he already doing? You don't have to make stuff up. It doesn't have to be just how you got saved. It could just be how he's providing for you today, right? Question number three then, how can you make space to spend more time with those who don't know Jesus? I know that for some people who maybe been a part of the church for a long time, this might seem weird. Like, wait a second, you want me to spend more time with people who don't know Jesus? I thought you wanted me to get away from the people who don't know Jesus. No, if the people who don't know Jesus are going to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we've got to make sure we're going to them. The Great Commission didn't say, get them to come here. The Great Commission said, go. And we got to be people who are going. So if you would, stand with me. We're going to sing one last song here. As we're singing, maybe there's something in particular that the Lord is challenging you to do. Maybe even as a result of some of these questions, you feel convicted by something. You want to pray with somebody. There are altars here that you can come and pray, and we have people that will meet you there. We want to say yes to the Lord. So whatever it is that he's challenging you with, say yes to him, even now. Thank you, Lord.